We're going to have a Bible reading first, and I'd like you to turn to John chapter 7. This is not a Christmas message, but it is a message about the Lord Jesus at a time of celebration. So it's getting closer to a Christmas message than this morning, but still not one. But I'd like to read from the Gospel of John chapter 7, and I'd like to read from verse 32. And it says there, "The Pharisees heard that the people murmured such things concerning him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take him. Then said Jesus unto them, Yet a little while am I with you, and then I go unto him that sent me. Ye shall seek me, and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come. Then said the Jews among themselves, Whither will he go, that we shall not find him? Will he go unto the dispersed among the Gentiles and teach the Gentiles? What manner of saying is this that he said, Ye shall seek me and shall not find me, and where I am, thither ye cannot come? In the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the Scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? So there was a division among the people because of him, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. Then answered them the Pharisees, Are ye also deceived? Have any of the rulers or of the Pharisees believed on him? But this people who knoweth not the law are cursed. Nicodemus saith unto them, He that came to Jesus by night, being one of them, Doth our Lord judge any man before it hear him, and know what he doeth? They answered and said unto him, Art thou also of Galilee? Search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. And every man went unto his own house. Before we look at God's word, that's a commit this time to him. Father, we thank you that we can come and worship you in song. And Lord, thank you that we can worship you in hearing your word. And Lord, considering your word as well. And I pray that as we stop, consider the life of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one we worship and sing about this evening. I ask that your spirit may illuminate us, give us understanding of thy word, and draw us to yourself, I pray. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. And just like every other Christmas, many will be saying around this time of the year that this is a time when we should all come as one and show goodwill to one another. And lots of people have various meanings of what Christmas is about. But there will be many people who say that this is a time when there should be joy in the world for one reason or another. It's a time to do good to all men. They will wish people a happy Christmas. They will tell people, let's do good to others. It's a time to show love for each other. And I agree with them. It would be lovely if we could have peace on the earth and we all could be one. Wouldn't that be nice? But the reality is, the Word of God has told us that there will not be peace on earth, and we all won't be one until Christ reigns over us all and in us all. That is the only time this earth is going to be united as one. And the reality is, although the world would like to pretend that we're all united at this time, the fact is you don't have to scratch far below the surface before you discover that we aren't all one. And in fact, we are far from being all one. You know, many Christmas lunches on Tuesday are going to end up in arguments. Maybe you've been a part of one of those in the past, but it will happen to some families and to some gatherings. There'll be some people that get together and to celebrate Christmas for one reason or another, and they're going to get upset by others that are there. And although they all turned up with happy smiles and having a good time, it'll end up in disaster. We aren't all one. Not all will show goodwill to others at this Christmas period. I was in Sydney driving there, and I'm telling you, there's not everyone showing goodwill when it comes to driving. And I suspect it's the same here. You go down to the shops. Not everyone's going to show goodwill to others. You see, only Christ can unite, and it's only when Christ reigns over all and in all that we will enjoy that. And even as Christians, as we celebrate with the unsaved in our families, with work friends, and even in our community, we're going to not always be one with them. In fact, there may be times when they are downright upset with us, and there's nothing that we're going to be able to do about it. Because the reality is, Christ divides people just as much as he unites people. And this has been happening since the day that the Lord Jesus walked upon the earth. And I want to show you one of these occasions in the Gospel of John in chapter 7. You see, in the Gospel of John in chapter 7, this was a time when the Jews were celebrating a holiday. This was a time that was meant to be a lot of joy and happiness. But behind the smiles and behind the nice words, we discover that there was fear and division amongst the people. People were whispering to one another, not sure what people believed, not sure what people were thinking, didn't want to get on the wrong side of people, and their minds were far from the feast that they were meant to be enjoying, and their thoughts were on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you might think, oh, that's lovely. Their thoughts were on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now everyone was thinking about the Lord, but not everyone was having nice thoughts about him. There were quite a lot of people that had terrible thoughts about the Lord Jesus, while there were those that did have lovely thoughts. Tonight I want to show you that what happened here at this time of great, or meant to be great, celebration is something that often happens with us when we may gather together with others that don't love the Lord Jesus and celebrate at this time of Christmas. And so I trust you're in chapter 7 of John. And what we discover in verses 1 and 2 is we're given the setting for the events of this chapter. Verse 1 gives us the mood of the people, and verse 2 tells us the time that it took place. And we see from verse 1 that it was getting very dangerous for Jesus to be ministering in public in Judea. It says there in verse 1, after these things Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. And so despite the fact that he had done wonderful miracles, despite the compassion that Jesus had showed so many people, there were still lots of people that hated the Lord Jesus and they wanted to kill him. And so there was tension in the air. No doubt there was a spiritual warfare going on. No doubt Satan didn't like all the attention that Jesus was getting and how everyone was following the Lord Jesus and listening to him. And so Satan was making sure that his children, those that he was in control of, was making it as hard as possible for Jesus to be able to preach the good news and people to be able to hear the Lord Jesus and believe him. And so it was getting dangerous for Jesus. And it was time for people to take sides. And in verse 2, we're told of the time when this time took place. It says in verse 2, now the Jews' feast of the tabernacles was at hand. And so this is the setting. This was the feast that the people of Judea were celebrating. It was the feast of the tabernacles. Feast of the tabernacles was started on the 15th day of the 7th month of their calendar, and they celebrated for 7 days. So it wasn't just one day, it was a 7-day public holiday stretch. And the feast was a time to celebrate God's goodness for them for the harvest. Mr. Phillips has just finished the harvest, and so now he would be celebrating to God the harvest that you've enjoyed. Sometimes better than others, but that's similar. And so it was a different time of the year for them. And we learn in the book of Leviticus that what the Lord wanted the people of Israel to do was, he wanted them to take palm trees and take the leaves and make booths or tabernacles. We would call them little cubby houses today, I guess. And he wanted them to live in them for 7 days. And he wanted them to do this for a couple of reasons. One, to remind themselves of God's goodness to their forefathers, how he protected them as they lived in these booth-like structures, as they wandered in the desert, in the wilderness, before they went into the promised land. It was to remind them of God's goodness to their forefathers. Also, it was a time for them to get away from everyday life, get away from the TV and the radio and the PlayStation and everything else in there, and just go and sit in that booth and get away from all the comforts of life and just focus on the Lord and what he has done for them in providing a harvest. I guess it's similar to us packing away and going on a family camp and just getting away from the home and just spending time considering the Lord and spending time with each other. And that's what this feast was about. The Feast of Tabernacles was a time of celebration, very similar to our Christmas time. But at this Feast of the Tabernacles, the mood wasn't so jovial. The people were divided about the Lord Jesus. He had been causing a lot of stir, and the thoughts of the people were more on him than on what God had done for them in the harvest. And we read in verses 11 to 13 this. Then the Jews sought him out at the feast and said, "Where is he?" And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him. For some said, "He is a good man." Others said, "Nay, but he deceiveth the people." Howbeit no man spake openly of him for fear of the Jews. So there wasn't much celebrating at this time. There was fear and division. People were divided about the Lord Jesus. Some people saw the Lord Jesus and saw his miracles, heard his words, and they believed on him and they followed him and loved him. While others saw the very same miracles, heard the very same words, and they rejected him, and often their hearts grew colder towards him as well. And so Jesus caused division at this time, not peace. We would like to think that if Jesus turned up the day, he would bring peace to everyone. But he can bring division as well. And the fact is, wherever Jesus went, whenever Jesus spoke, he divided the people into two groups. Some believed and loved him and followed him, while others believed not and usually hated him. And we shouldn't be surprised by this, because Jesus told us that this is exactly what was going to happen. He told his disciples earlier in the book of Matthew. Let me read it to you. He said to his disciples, "Think not that I come to send peace on earth." Oh, that's disappointing. He says, "Don't think that I've come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword," he says. "For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and a daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law." Now, I can understand that one. But "And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than he or than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." And so Jesus said, "I've come to bring division amongst people. I have brought a sword." And what does a sword do? It divides, it cuts in half, it severs things. And Jesus said, "I have even come to sever people from one side to the other." And we see at this great Feast of the Tabernacle, people were divided. Some are saying, "He is a good man." Others said, "No, he's a deceiver." And people were divided. And that's what Jesus did. And things haven't changed since that day when Jesus walked upon the earth. You know, the line is drawn in many homes today, in many workplaces, even in our community, where some believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and love him and follow him, while others don't believe him and they don't follow him. And if His name is even mentioned. Oftentimes there is anger swelled to the surface and there is a hatred noticed within them. Jesus still brings division towards people like he did in his day. And over this Christmas period, although in our country we can have feelings of oneness with all in our community, it's nice when everyone's down the shop and there seems to be happiness and oneness. The reality is, you start talking about the Lord Jesus and who he is, and you will discover that we are not all one. And there is a division. In the workplace, you start talking about what Jesus did and who he really is, you'll discover there's division. You go down into our community and you'll know that people are very divided about what Christmas is really about. But you know, sadly, the place where this is seen and probably felt the most and can have the most explosive effect is within our families. You know, as families get together, on the surface, there are lots of smiles. There are lots of nice words, nice happiness. But the reality is, close under the surface is a great divide between those who love Christ and those who don't. Had a wonderful time having a Christmas lunch with Linda's family. But you know that there was a sense, just under the surface, there is a divide. There was half the family that loved the Lord, and we could talk about the Lord quite freely. But there was another half that knew not the Lord, and we knew that if we bring that up, that family gathering would be divided very quickly. And that happens in many, many families, and it will happen in many families over this Christmas period. And sadly, sometimes they end in disaster because of the Lord Jesus. Maybe something happens, something is said, or you don't want to do something because of your love for Christ, and your celebration may end up in disaster as well. It happens. The encouraging thing is, and this is what I would like to encourage you with this evening, is that even in the days of Christ, when Jesus was at this time of great celebration with his nation, he himself had the same experience with his own family. And if it happened to the Lord Jesus, then we shouldn't be surprised when or if it happens amongst our families, when there are those who love the Lord Jesus and those who don't celebrating together. Because we see in chapter 7 of the Gospel of John that his family was divided at this time. You'd think that as Mary and Joseph raise their children and Jesus is there as being this wonderful example, this would have been a loving, godly family where all the children, as they grew up, loved the Lord Jesus. But that wasn't the case. We read in verse 5, as we know that the setting is, they're getting ready to go and celebrate for the Feast of Tabernacles. It says in verse 5, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." This is a very sad statement. Neither did Jesus' brothers and sisters believe in him. Now we'll look at the previous verses to see what they said in a moment. But we see here that Jesus was not accepted by his family at this stage. It appears that his life had caused an offense to them. I'm sure it wasn't because he was unkind to them, because we know that he was without sin. But quite possibly it was because of the opposite, because he was sinless. He caused offense to them. You know, even in families today, if you have a child that is well behaved and seems to do everything right and all the other children don't, you'll find that those who don't behave themselves don't admire the one that does everything right, but they resent the one that does everything right, because when the one that does everything right acts the way they do, it highlights all the bad attitudes and wrongdoings of the others. And so they don't like that. Now that happens in our day with families, so could you imagine how it must have been like in the family of Mary and Joseph when you got a big brother by the name of Jesus who does nothing wrong? You know, I know that the oldest brothers and sisters often think they do nothing wrong, but it's not the case in reality. But it was in this case. Imagine sitting at the meal table and you've got all these children and Jesus there and he does nothing wrong. He always is obedient and well behaved at the table. Imagine playing games in the street and there may be people saying they're out when they know they weren't out, or they're telling a lie so they can get their own way, or they're being selfish where you've got big brother Jesus and he does everything right and polite and he always tells the truth. Imagine sharing a bedroom and you're meant to, when the light goes off, or I guess they could blow a light out, when the light blows out, it gets blown out, everyone has to be quiet, and big brother Jesus always does it and obeys his parents while the others don't. Imagine being compared to Jesus, the Son of God. Why can't you be like your big brother Jesus? That's a bit unfair, isn't it? Now, that could have brought a lot of resentment. A lot of resentment. You see, Jesus didn't lie. He never cheated. He was never selfish. He always honored his parents, and his brethren would have known he was different. But instead of being filled with admiration, they could have been filled with jealousy. And now, as a grown man, what's happening? He has people following him. He's got disciples now. He's doing miracles. Where did that all come from? He's calling himself the Son of God. Why is he doing that? And it seems that they didn't want him to be hanging around at this time. And even though at this time of the Feast of the Tabernacles, it was meant to be a time of celebration and thanksgiving, they didn't want the Lord Jesus to be with them. We see this in verses 3 and 4. It says, "His brethren therefore said unto him, Depart hence, and go into Judea, that thy disciples also may see the works that thou doest. For there is no man that doeth anything in secret, and he himself seeketh to be known openly. If thou do these things, show thyself to the world." Now, if all we had was verses 3 and 4, you could read that in a manner where you're thinking that the brothers and sisters of the Lord actually believed on him and were encouraging him. You could read it as saying, well, why don't you go into Judea and show everyone your miracles and show it openly so everyone can hear this wonderful news and hear and see you. But because we have verse 5, we know that it wasn't done out of a heart of belief, but unbelief, because it says, "For neither did his brethren believe in him." And so what they said to Jesus wasn't out of admiration. This was cynicism. This was done out of an unbelieving heart. And so they're basically saying, don't hang around here. Go to your disciples and show all your miracles. Show it openly. You're not meant to hide it, you know. It wasn't said out of love and admiration. It was said out of cynicism and an unbelieving heart. And we see here that the life of the Lord Jesus had caused friction within his own family, a time of celebration, and they didn't want him around. There was division, even in the house of Joseph and Mary, because of the Lord Jesus. And so he brought division in every area of society within his own family, amongst the Jews and then even the Romans. There was division about the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're in a family where there are those who aren't Christians, you should take heart from this and not be surprised if those who aren't saved and don't love the Lord Jesus don't accept what you say. Don't be surprised by that. You shouldn't be surprised when they don't want to follow your ways. You shouldn't even be surprised if they get angry with what you do or say. Because the same thing happened to the Lord Jesus. You know, we often, you can tell me afterwards if you don't think like this, but we often do. Isn't it true when you've got unsaved family, you think, well, what I'll do is I will be nice to them. I'll be a good testimony to them. I'll allow them to see Christ living in me. And as they see Christ living in me, they'll be drawn to Christ and they'll want to be saved. Isn't that how we think? They'll see Christ in me and they'll be drawn to Christ. Well, Christ himself was in his family. They saw him and they weren't drawn to him. They were repelled by him. and many others at that feast and in the nation were as well. You see, your family may see Christ in you this Christmas, but don't think that means they're going to love you and be drawn to you. It may be the very thing that repels them from you. Because as you live a life that brings honor to the Lord, they will see their sinfulness. Maybe they'll be convicted of their ways and hate you for it. And there may not be very much goodwill enjoyed in your workplace, in our community, or even in your family this Christmas day when people see Christ in you. The most important thing is we need to make sure that it's Christ that they're repelled by and not our own selfish, arrogant, proud attitudes. Sometimes as Christians we can think, well, I can act superior to these people because I know the truth. No, we should be the most humble and loving of all. But that doesn't mean they're going to love us back. But the blessing and encouragement should be for all of us is, despite the fact that the brothers and sisters of the Lord Jesus made fun of him, didn't really want him to be around them, even at a time of celebration, they weren't too keen to have him by their side. In time, as Jesus lived that righteous life and went about the life or the business of his Father, it seems as though his family finally received him as their own personal Savior. And that's a blessing. It may have taken months or years. We know that, or we believe that Jude, and there's an epistle by Jude in the New Testament, we believe that is the Lord's brother writing. We believe that James, the pastor of Jerusalem, was the Lord's brother. We're told in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 14, that the brethren of the Lord Jesus were in the upper room with the disciples, and so there seemed to be a change of heart after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it seems as though some, if not all, changed their mind about their brother and believed on him and followed. His life at first divided the family, but now his life united them. And if you're finding it hard with unsaved family, or unsaved work friends, maybe unsaved in the community, and you're finding that your life and your love for Christ is actually dividing at this time, keep in mind, it may be Christ that divides now, but they, if they want to have any hope of eternal life, need to see Christ. And the only person they may ever see it in is you. So you have that responsibility to seek for them to be able to see Christ in you. And in time, they may believe like the brethren of the Lord Jesus. And Christ may be the one that unites your family and unites your work friends or those that you know in the community, even though at this time he may be the one that divides. And so that's the little encouragement as we go out into this time of celebration period. Yes, we come to celebrate Christ while the world wants to come and celebrate Christmas, whatever it is for them. And yes, Christ living through us and in us may divide us, but we still have a responsibility to be that testimony. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that through our Savior we have been united with you and we have made peace with you. Thank you for sending your Son while we were yet sinners, showing your great love for us. And I pray that, Lord, we may be able to exercise that same love to others in our community, those we work with, those we're friends with, those within our own flesh and blood family. That, Father, we may love them despite what they may think of us, and they may see Christ in us, I pray. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.